Good morning, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti, and this is The American Dream. Welcome to, I think this is our third show here. We're trying to figure out all the little things that go along with it, successfully and not so successfully. I just want to start our show off again and give you a definition of what an entrepreneur is. And although Leo Sr. and I were talking off air here, actually, I should probably do properly, introduce our guest today, which is Leo Sr., Katie's. Leo Katie Sr. and Leo R. And that's
you
actually,
got it right. Yeah.
I did, right?
You got it right.
Finally. But we were talking off air about entrepreneurs, and you know, it's funny. The definition I have in front of me is an individual who rather than working for as an employee, runs a small business and assumes all the risk and obviously all the reward for his ideas and services he sells. An entrepreneur is commonly seen as a business leader, an innovator of new ideas and business processes. And I tell you that the two guys sitting here to my left define that without question. You've been in this town for many, many years. I think 30 plus years.
37 years.
37 years.
Going on 38, right?
Going on 38.
Going on 38.
So that's pretty amazing. So my father's been in business about 37, 38 years as well, which right. You've known him for many, many years.
The same, yep.
The same thing.
He's been a Rotarian for that many years, though.
Is that right?
Well, I think we joined the club about the same time, 1980, 81.
Wow.
Yep.
Honestly, that seems like yesterday. Although I guess maybe that just kind of shows how old I'm getting at the same time. You know, it's funny, we'll go through, and I'm starting to do all these researching now on small businesses, and I'm just blown away by how many they are in the United States. There's 28 million small businesses, which outnumber, there are 1,168 to 1 in the corporate world. And it just blows me away how many people
actually... But we still cater to the corporate world.
What's that?
But we still cater to the corporate world.
Well, it's still the big gorilla, isn't it? I mean, but every large business, every corporate business started out as an entrepreneur, right? That was the idea. They did it in their garage or the back of the car and had the ability to take it to the next level. But I think that's what I'm finding more and more, and we'll get into this, is that the population is, especially locally, I'm noticing, is supporting the small business better and better every day. And, you know, you look at the local car dealerships, the local stores, and so on and so forth. But it defines, you know, who everybody is and who they want to be. And I think you guys define it very well. And, you know, Leo, you have many, many accolades, and I know you don't like being putting those things on public, but the reason that has happened is you put the time in. You're a fellow Rotarian. You're a former president of the Rotary. Leo, are you still the president now? Or are you, Leo R., I should say?
It has officially ended as of last Tuesday.
Congratulations.
At 7:03 p.m.
That's why the smile on his face.
Oh, is this why you're so relaxed here? You actually enjoy your summer?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, those are the leadership things you step in and do, right? And I was a former president of the Florida Chamber for about 10 years. And I'll tell you, it was a great thing, but it was time to hand off the torch. And I'm sure you felt the same way with the Rotary.
Well, especially with Rotary, I mean, there's so many great members that let everybody take a shot at it.
All right. Leo, so what is the purpose of this show is to kind of get and let people know that, you know, entrepreneurs, it's a great idea, but it's not the simplest thing in the world, obviously. And we were kind of talking off air before we started here. Can you just give us a little brief history on how you even came upon the idea to come up to Warwick, New York, and throw your hat in the ring?
Well, it really goes further back than that. I never started out thinking I'd ever sell a car or sell anything, but I was born in Paterson, New Jersey, and went through the normal school system and wound up being an electrician. And I think I worked at it for a total of about a week. When in the middle of the winter, my boss sent me up on a two-family house with a ladder that just extended to the rain gutter. I did what I had to put a service conduit in, and I thought, how do I get back on this ladder? And if I ever see that ground again, I'll never see another ladder. But I did make it down, and I quit that day. I went out to work in electronics and worked for General Precision, worked on the Polaris guidance system for a while.
Really?
And
little things.
Yeah,
we
well,
don't
it was that's when the Polaris submarine was the first to carry a intercontinental ballistic missile. But anyway, it was a job. You know, it was the same job day in, day out, and also worked for Western Electric, and they had transferred me to Albany, and that was just too far. And we had just gotten married. We were 20 years old, and we decided, let's not do this. My brothers owned a used car lot in Paterson, New Jersey, and so I went to work for them. And 1971, Ford came around and said, there's a small dealership in Bloomingdale, New Jersey, and would you guys be interested? So the three of us said, sure. You know, we borrowed some money and bought the dealership and operated and signed a letter of commitment to move it to Route 23 in Butler in 1971. We did that and built that, and then later decided that, you know, we wanted to branch out on our own. One brother went to Morristown Ford, bought that, and Joe stayed at Route 23, and Ford said there's a dealership available in Warwick, New York. But where is Warwick, New York?
I was going to say, did you even know where Warwick, New York was?
No, I had no idea. We did find it, though, without GPS, because we had none. But
I remember that day. Oh, do I remember that day.
There was no Ford sign. I mean, how would you find it, you know? There was a small building on, was it 1 acre of property?
Yeah.
I think. And said to my wife, this is a great opportunity, you know, if we, you know, hock the house and whatever we have, you know, maybe we can borrow enough money to do this.
Bet it all.
And she always, all my life, has gone along with, I don't know why, but anyway, We did it, and things just happened. And like we were talking off air, you know, when, you know, a lot of the decisions we think we make on our own, but I think we're guided. You know, I'm a strong believer in Jesus Christ, and I think they were put in the right place at the right time. But John Bolenbach came over and said, you know, you're not going to be able to operate on 1 acre of property as this place grows. And
that was the entire size of the dealership, 1 acre?
I think so. 1 acre?
Just about an acre, yeah. It was just surrounded by that stream around the building.
The stream around the building and Lloyd's next door.
Leo, how old were you when this all happened?
14.
No.
Going from, I used to joke how, you know, we lived in civilization and we came to Warwick. I'd have it no other way now.
Right. Well, big difference between then and now, yeah, to say the very least.
But washing cars was the same in Warwick as it was.
Well, Butler, it right? was. Yeah. Yeah. I washed cars in Butler and I washed cars in Warwick.
It's the way you start out, to say the very least.
Actually, Leo worked in every department, and that's why he's so successful in running it now. But he did. He ran the service department, the parts department, and.
Well, you have
of course,
to,
the front end, and
that's
why he's brought it to this level now.
Without question. And we're going to get into that a little bit here. But one of the things that I find amazing, and you just pointed out that you've always had the support, and I don't want to kind of belittle this at all and kind of push it away. You've had the support of your wife and your family throughout those decision makings, especially in the early years.
Absolutely.
And I think it shows, I think kind of a message out there to all entrepreneurs, if you've got a family, you better make sure you consult with the family, because I can speak to, you know,
Because you spend a lot of time away from the family and trying to do it.
There's sacrifice, without question. I'm just trying to keep an eye on the time here, Dan. Am I good? I got like 30 seconds. Is that what you're telling me here? All right. So before we come back here, we're going to break away for a second. When we come back, I want to stay on top of that topic of spiritual and guidance, and because I think it's a lot of it is what makes you who you are today. Again, this is Jim Mazzetti with the American Dream. We'll be right back with Leo Sr. and Leo R. From Leo Cady's Ford.
Hey, Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, this is Dick Robinson. Please join me for 2 hours of the Great American Songbook every Saturday morning at 5 here on WTBQ.
Dick Robinson's American Standards by the Sea.
Hi, this is Veronica Vero Barrow, the president of the Sugarloaf Chamber of Commerce, inviting you to join me and my guest every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. to learn everything Sugarloaf on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
All right, we're back. This is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. My guests today are Leo Cady Sr. and Leo R. And Dan, you know, we're going to remind, you know, where's my music? Where's that journey music? We got to find that for me, right? Or something good. Need better intro than that. Now we're coming back. Okay, we're just talking before we broke here. One of the things I want to say, you know, kind of get back to is the support system for entrepreneurs, which I believe is without question critical, if not the number one thing on if you're going to make the leap. And if you have a family, they got to be all in. Or at least have the faith in you to make it happen.
They have to have the faith and they have to be all in because you do spend a lot of time away from your families. I mean, Leo remembers we would drive up to Albany and buy cars from Ford. We were living in North Eildon, New Jersey at the time when we first started and drive all the way back to North Eildon, back to Warwick the next day. So we were away 12, 14 hours a day. So, and that went on for a long time. So, you know, you're missing a lot at home. And, you know, you can never get that back. So it's that support that you get from your family, because then if you don't have that support, then you're going to give up the other side of it. And then you don't know how the success is going to come about. And success is measured not only in dollars, you know, it's measured in your lifestyle.
Without question, I think success is defined a million different ways, and I think it's different for everybody.
Exactly.
You know. You know, to that point, and Leo R. has been sitting here very quietly, but, you know.
Which is a rarity for me,
which
by
is
the
it
way.
Rare?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very rare.
Well, it's funny. I'm sitting here looking at you and listening to your father speak. I know your position, because when my father speaks, I just sit and
you
listen.
You just sit
as well.
And listen, learn as much as you can.
That's exactly it. I try to absorb it. As I tell my father, I said, listen, you're 72 years old. And
is that what he tells you?
That's what he tells me. He's never retired. He's never retiring either, by the way. But if I could just download his brain, I said, you know, you could leave tomorrow, but that's not the case. And we're very different in our operating styles and our business management styles and so on and so forth. And, you know, and that, you know, kind of brings you into the picture, Leo R. What made you decide to come back? Did you go outside the business before you decided to come back? Did you try something else?
I didn't. No, I mean, I started at 13 years old, washing cars. You know, through college, I worked at a Grand Union. I did some architectural work, but nothing, you know, no real career stuff. And, I started selling cars. I guess I was a freshman or a junior in college. And once you get the taste of it, there was no going back. I mean, it was, you know, you talked about every single day going to the job, it's the same thing over. It isn't in any sales business. It isn't. So, there was no going back. Once I started selling cars, went from selling cars to, I guess at that point was sales management, and just kept going from there.
I think after you designed the house on Hickory Hill, you said that's
enough of that.
Well, it was a venture into something else to realize that, no, this is where I need to be.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think the DNA...
That's how I met Cameron, too, selling cars. So that worked out well.
Well, there you have it, yeah. Right? Well, the DNA has a lot to do with a lot of this, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The faith. And I'll tell you, very important fact, and the reason I looked it up this morning was probably not only to remind myself, but kind of bring it to everybody's attention, is, you know, less than one-third of family businesses survive the transition from the first generation to the second. And then 50% of them don't survive the second to the third. So this is not an easy thing to happen for many family businesses, but you guys have done it very, very well. And, you know, growing up in Warwick, I've seen the changes. My family's bought several vehicles from you guys, to say the very least. And you're constantly, you can't just remain the same. And you have to be innovative and open-minded to change. Now, have you seen some of those things? Obviously, you've changed, the business has changed very much since you started.
Well, when we came to Warwick, there were 5 new car dealerships.
5?
And we have, what, 2 now? Yeah, you know, we had Mel Pontiac, where the Burger King is now. DeGros Chevrolet was where the Chinese restaurant is. Warwick Dodge was across the street from the golf course.
Oh, is that right?
And Stanley Pontiac was downtown, where the body shop is.
Stanley Chrysler.
Chrysler, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Pontiac dealer was where Country Chevy was.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there was
5 new car dealerships, and now we have 2 dealerships in town.
But there was substantial competition even at that time. And you look at I'm thinking back, the population is not what it was today.
The correct. Population, I think, was in the 20s, maybe 22,000.
Oh, it was.
17,000.
17,000,
yes.
Wow.
You remember that, didn't you? Oh, that's, well, you had no choice then, right? You had to be innovative,
right,
to say the very least. And have you seen it change? I mean, talking from Leo R. is probably more speaking to you. Have you seen the challenges today with the internet and AutoNation of sorts? And how has that affected the way you guys do business today?
It's changed everything how business is done. I think for a large dealership, it's probably affected them a little more than it does for us. You know, we're still, you know, the hometown dealership. I don't think many people will buy a car online without touching it, driving it. There's so many different sources out there that tell you they're going to get you the best price. You know, you're going to pay them a fee. They're going to charge a dealer a fee. Still, the best way is the old-fashioned way. Go in and talk to somebody and drive the car. But the technology out there has made a difference. My father and I talk all the time that there's times that I'm planted in that office for 5, 6, 7 hours a day staring at a screen, and that doesn't sell a car, that doesn't fix a car. But if you're not on top of all the technology and everything that has to be done with the state and with the motor company, you're just going to fall behind.
Interesting. I mean, and we find this in all business anyway. We just had Justin Tracy, who's a good friend of ours and a client of mine, who designs, you know, websites and, I wouldn't say he designs websites. He does a lot of back-end stuff for the internet, and a young guy. And he made it very clear that, you know, you cannot ignore the technology today. And I don't think...
No, not at all.
I mean, you cannot say, listen, I'm just going to continue doing things the way I used to do it and expect everything to be the same. And you had that, Leo. I mean, listen, obviously the technology is much different today. But when you came to Warwick, you had to know that, listen, you have to make yourself that much different than the dealership down the street.
When we came to Warwick, we actually had, there were no computers, you know, and we had to go down to the local stationery store and just buy whatever books we needed to enter cars and... You know, everything was on paper. And if I walked into the dealership today and sat behind a computer and tried to sell a car, I'm lost. But I mean, it's but everything evolves, and that had to evolve to this. And you know, there's a time in life when you just step back and say, "Go with it," you know, and
make it happen. Was it an easy transition for you to hand the business off?
No.
To next year.
No. Well, the flip
Thank
side,
you
though,
for admitting
it,
that.
It was a very long transition, too.
It was
too.
A long transition.
You know, I belong to, a few different dealer associations, and, you know, one of the questions when new members come in, you know, how long have you been, you know, running the business? And I don't have a real answer. I mean, there is no real answer because it was a slow, gradual, transition. And I think the reason that so many second generations fail is because they go, okay, it's yours, go for it. And
right, there's not a proper transition.
There's not a proper
transition. There's not a proper plan in place either, I think.
Yeah.
But I also, you know, I see the chemistry between the two of you, and I'm lucky enough, I think I have it with my father. And it's actually the other thing, the deepest thing I see between it is respect. Is respect for what was started, what has grown to what it is today, and a mutual respect on both sides. But I will tell you, a lot of businesses we deal with, and I deal with a lot of business owners, that relinquishing the reins, the final relinquishing of the reins, doesn't come easy, if at all, right? Which is probably more to the point here. I mean, you still spend a few months up here, Leo, right, before you go down south. But it still makes you tick. You still like to come in. I'm sure you still come into the dealership on a regular basis.
I do.
You do, when he's here. And I think that will be most, you know, especially the founders of any company. Yeah, I mean, it's really who they are. It's not what they are, right? It's what made you what you are today, and it's what keeps you ticking.
Well, you know, I do go into a dealership, but not to sit down and sell a car only because I don't know how anymore. But I love going and talking to customers that I've seen, and especially when there's a young couple in there and said, oh, you sold my grandfather a car here. I said, wow. You know, I mean, that makes you...
Generation. Wow.
Third generation, you know, and we do get so much repeat business that it's amazing. And in a town like this, you wind up knowing everybody, and it's more of a social thing when I go in.
Yeah. Well, I can see that.
But that's also one of the huge, you know, that's a huge benefit. We were talking yesterday that, and I said, yeah, you feeling all right? He goes, yeah, why? Because you're not spending really a whole lot of time here. But Leslie and I were talking this morning. You know, Leslie's been our sales manager for, what, 25 years now?
Yeah.
And it's a different atmosphere. It's a different attitude when Leo Sr.'s there because, you know, you are out. You know, you're talking to the customers. And he'll stand by the coffee machine and talk for, you know, 35, 40 minutes to a customer that's waiting for a car to get serviced, where if you're running, doing your job, you just don't have those 35, 40 minutes to do it. And it's great to have that face and that knowledge and that background. I always joke, and you know, I think you did it, you know, last week or last month, where you know somebody came in to use a restroom and they bought a car. You know, you just have that ability to
it's in you, it's innate, right?
Yeah.
And well, it's not selling a car, right? You're fitting the need, and you obviously you know how to ask the right questions.
Yeah. If they didn't have the need for a car at that time, they, you know, just like we have, we house enterprise rentals.
Okay.
And people come in and rent a car, and they're renting a car for a reason. You know, that reason may be they need it for a day, as relative came to town, or they just had a total wreck and they have to replace their car. Well, we can take care of
that. You can fulfill that need.
Right. Yep.
And that was a difference, too. I'm sure you didn't always rent cars, but that was an expansion of your offerings. Would you say?
I mean, yeah, we brought them in 10 years ago.
Wow. Has it been that long?
It's been 10 years now, yeah.
Man, I can't believe how fast things go here.
I know.
It's wild.
It's wild.
And you know, Jim, Leo just talked about Leslie being here 30, 35 years. Our parts manager was there actually before we were. You know, he was a holdover from Twin State.
He came with the building.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he was a youngster, drove a parts truck. Now he's the parts manager. He does a super job. Mike Passamano has been there for, 100 years.
28.
Yeah, as long as I remember, he's been a staple there as well.
I mean, everybody at Warwick Grove will call and tell me I've got to call Mike Passamano to get my car fixed. They don't say I'm calling a dealership, you know. So
right.
There are so many people that Mike Padham has been here for 30-some years. You know, it's just everybody knows when they walk in here, they're going to see a familiar face.
Chuck started in 72 with you.
Chuck started in 72.
So I think we just rattled off literally like 6 or 7 people. And I think that's a testament to, quite frankly, the leadership of the company and the fact that, you know, your ability, actually the family's ability to make everybody else family, right? To make them feel like they're family, that they're all working. And I said this before, and I say it constantly, I don't think anybody works for anybody. I think they work with you. And if they didn't work with you, they won't stay with you because they got to be part of it.
Right.
Exactly. And we've got Adele as our office manager and, my oldest daughter, and Sharon is a bookkeeper and has been there since we started. Actually, my granddaughter now is our motor vehicle clerk or motor vehicle?
I'm sure there's a fancier name for it somewhere.
You better get it right, though, because it's not secretary anymore, to say the least.
Actually, we do the New York Motor Vehicle, so she's more than a clerk.
Yeah. Well, if you're dealing with the state of New York by any stretch of imagination, you better know what you're talking about right. These days. I understand we've got to give me the little signal here at a high sign that we got to take a break. This is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. We'll be right back.
Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC, is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, this is Austin DuBois of Bluestein Shapiro, Rich & Barone. Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. for It's the Law and learn what the law is. Ask questions, get answers right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hi, this is Taylor. Have your second cup of coffee with me every Friday morning at 10:30 a.m. Learn the latest in news, gossip, health, entertainment, and of course, all about animals. WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ weather.
Looks like we'll have unsettled weather right through a good part of the week. A chance of showers, maybe a thunderstorm during the afternoon. It'll be cloudy today with a high in the low 70s. Showers likely tonight getting down into the 60s. Tomorrow clouds and more showers. It'll warm up a little bit in the afternoon as we get over 80. Showers tomorrow night, a couple of thunderstorms, mainly before midnight, remaining cloudy and into the upper 60s. And Thursday, look for clouds and some sun. Could be an afternoon shower with a high around 80. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salimo.
All right, welcome back. This is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream, and my two guests today, Leo Cady Sr. and Leo R. And thank you for having my music back. I feel much better. We're all charged up now. Just before we left here, we're talking about all these little challenges and how you have to stay current and stay with the times. But more importantly, we're kind of talking quickly off air, as we do a lot here. A lot of small businesses, people don't realize that small business today, by the way, is defined as 500 employees or less. That's how the government looks at it. Isn't that amazing?
So we are a very, very small business.
We're microscopic, really.
Grocery store.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, how many employees does Leo Cady's employ now?
We average about 31.
Full-time employees,
yeah.
See, that's... And those, all by itself, is a huge accomplishment. And is no small task. And we were talking about it before, is that, you know, we're not only responsible for taking care of our own families, right? And making sure the bills are paid, and we have enough funds to get the groceries, and make sure all the kids go to school, and, you know, this and that. But you're responsible for everybody else that's with you. And then that extends to their families. And that's not been not that easy, I'm sure, over the years as well.
Even if it's not related to the workplace, like our daughter Adele was an HR director for a lot of years before she started the dealership. She has solved so many employees' insurance problems, you know, health insurance problems.
Oh, there are many today.
Very many, but she has that expertise. And she does that, and it's not really part of her job, but she has that compassion that she wants to get that done for them, to take that load off of them.
I mean, and that's part of being a family-based business today, right? Is that it's not just our employees, actually, the people that work with us show up, they punch in and punch out. It's much more than that. There's so many more things today that because of the regulatory world we live in, and just the world in general, that you have to help go above and beyond the normal course of business. And I think you just pointed it out, because these challenges, especially in the health insurance side of it, or any side of it, if you don't have an expertise in it, these people can get hurt pretty quickly. Would you say
quickly and badly?
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah. These are no small dollar impacts on these people today. But you've always taken that seriously. I mean, your give backs to the community kind of defines the family-based business period, right?
Well, I think the giving forward started when the business started, and of course Leo's expanded on that, and he's part of the Bonsecours, I guess. It's still Bonsecours, right?
I think it's still Bonsecours.
It's still Bonsecours, though it's expanded tenfold, right?
Yeah, we, going back about 15 or 18 years ago, we were sitting with the accountants, and we wrote a check out to the Warwick Little League for some contribution, and back then, we passed a $1 million mark in contributions back to the community.
Is that right?
So I can't imagine what it is now. It's got to be double that now. But yeah, we've always been very active, and we've restricted what we give to now, so it needs to be something for, for the school, for kids, men's softball leagues. I want us to sponsor. Yeah. You guys want to play softball, buy your own uniforms,
Right.
But, we're a heavy supporter of whatever we can in our community.
Oh, the drive one for your school has generated thousands and thousands.
Drive one for your school. Yeah. We've been doing that for 5 years now, and that's a program that we do in conjunction with Ford, and that's $6,000 to $9,000 every year to the Warwick school system.
Whew.
Yeah.
Well needed too, by the way.
Yeah. And it's funny, cause it started out just as a sports program, but then all the clubs got involved. So it goes to everything, which is great.
As the things you're talking about is also as we're listening here, is the innovativeness of what you've done and how you keep being innovative. I remember when you guys did the project of, how long you keep your hand on a car programs.
Yeah, gave away a couple cars doing that.
Right, and then the car shows and all those things that, you kind of throw it at the wall and see what sticks, right?
We gave away 3 hole-in-one cars at golf outings.
Yeah. Is that right?
Right. Well, yeah. Joe DeBold was the only one I remember, but there's 2 more.
Yep. Well, Joe DeBold wins them all.
Yeah.
Great command, but actually great citizen and contributor to Warwick as well here. The other things that I would just like to touch upon with you guys, if I can, is that going forward, what challenges do you see, not only for your industry, but for entrepreneurs, and what suggestions do you make how to kind of go about doing that, dealing with them?
Well, I think now if you're looking to get into something, it goes back to what we talked about earlier. You have to be all in. There's no, I think I'm going to try to do this. I'm good at it, so I think I can do it. You either have to be 100% committed or not at all. You can't just dabble in it. Just when you look at healthcare and the cost of providing, benefits for your employees, you have to have the resources and you have to have the willpower. And if not, take a look at Main Street in Warwick over the past 10 years. There's been an awful lot of, businesses have come and gone.
Yeah.
But, you still have your staples, the ones that are committed to it and making it work.
Right.
And I think that's what you have to do.
Well, I think it's that all-in attitude that defines an entrepreneur right from the get-go, right? So you, Leo Senior, you had it.
He built one heck of a foundation for that dealership to expand on. And if you weren't all-in 37 years ago.
Yeah. There's no question. I mean, and you have to continue that mentality.
I was only 20 years old at the
time. 20 years old? Yeah, maybe. But you're kind of sticking with that theory. You've got to make it happen 24/7. There's no days off, I think, for entrepreneurs. We'd like to think that we can take a Sunday off or a Saturday off. And even though we take time out to pray and visit the Lord and what have you, as soon as that's done, I don't know about you, Leo, but there's my eyes open. I'm thinking about what's got to be done for the day.
Well, we're sitting here on the commercial break and we're last day of the month. We're busy at the dealership and we appraise a few cars, and I just overrode an appraisal amount and put more money on a car sitting here in the studio.
Right.
Where, years ago, you didn't do that. You didn't have that opportunity. And
well, you got to take advantage of the technology.
Because of technology, you're always on.
Right. Yeah, it's funny because I thought it was supposed to make things easier, right?
Yeah.
It was supposed to be make more, less paper, less this, less that. But I think it certainly hasn't done that whatsoever. And as far as the paper world goes, I know they try desperately. But,
I think it makes it easier for a customer, too, because they come in and they're already educated on which car they want, what the equipment is. And so, I think it makes it easier for the sales process when you come in knowing exactly what you want. And you know that we have that on the ground. So it's just a matter of negotiating on how to put it.
So much more of an educated consumer base today.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, entirely.
I think that's across the board for everything that's out there, too, right? I mean, you're looking at the days where you're not like you said, you're not telling them, well, these are the type of tires you have. These are the air conditioning. These are power seats. And they know that all prior to.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they even know what you paid for the car. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, would you say that's in general, or do you say what percentage of the population that comes or customer base that comes to you?
New car buyers, at least half of them have been on some type of website that gives some version of the cost, and not all of them are correct. You know, so you go to Kelley Blue Book, Kelley Blue Book says that this new Taurus is $20,000. Well, it's really $24,000 because they didn't add the packages to it. They didn't add the transportation to it. And, but if you go to Ford's website, you can get some pretty accurate numbers.
But it helps, right? And that's the utilization of it, I think. And I know with our clientele, we push them to, I think education has been a huge benefit, at least in our side of our business, is to help them get, when you're talking to a client or a customer, the more they know, the better off we are with in the entire process, right? And I think that's where technology has really come around. But coming back to that, I think it's still the one-on-one, person-to-person dealings today. And whether you do it in front of somebody, flesh-to-flesh, or over Skype or FaceTime, that either makes the deal or doesn't make the deal. Would you agree?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I think the factory support, too, is a whole lot better than, a lot of years ago. You know, a lot of years ago, we would take a trade-in and just do what we had to sell the car, and that was the end of it. But today, all of our cars come, they're certified from Ford Motor Company, the pre-owned vehicles.
Okay.
So as opposed to somebody going to a used car lot and kind of praying that, they wind up with a car, everything that comes out of our place is certified, and it's guaranteed, and...
And it's all the data is live. We're talking about technology, and you sit there, you plug a tool in, which is unique to manufacturers. So Ford dealer has it, Chrysler dealer has it, and any information on that vehicle is transmitted live back to the manufacturer, comes back to us, and it tells us everything that we need to know about the car. And that's technology that wasn't there years ago either.
See, I didn't know that.
See that? You learn something every day.
Yeah. You can't replace one-on-one contact. If you have a customer, standing in front of you, you've got a much better opportunity to make them feel at home and have them purchase a car, as opposed to that person that just wants to do everything by email. It's a trust factor, yeah.
And that still exists today, and I think it's becoming, my opinion, especially when you're talking transactions of that magnitude, right? Listen, a car today is what I think my father paid for his first house.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. So we have pickup trucks that are $65,000 for a pickup truck.
It's unbelievable how much.
And we sell them every day.
Yeah. Well, it's still the vehicle of America, right? Especially up here.
Yeah.
To say the very least.
Yeah.
But that trust factor is, I think, A number one, and I think it's still going to be a way of the future. I think even the millennials at some point are going to have to get there. They're going to have to get away from just looking down and looking up and shaking hands. At least I'm hoping my daughter gets to that point. Right. It's a little different today. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back for our final segment, we'll get into a little bit more.
Hey,
Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC, is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, this is Sarah O'Connell.
And this is Jonah Treeboiser.
And we're the hosts of Radio Rotary, heard every Saturday morning at 11:30.
Each week we chat with your neighbors about great things happening in your community and around the world.
Radio Rotary.
Right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
This little piggy banker ruined the markets. This little piggy banker foreclosed on homes. This little piggy banker had roast beef Wellington. This little piggy banker's customers had none. This little piggy banker went wee, wee, wee all the way home in the Hamptons. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. because that's where the money is.
All right, welcome back. Again, this is Jim Mazzetti with the American Dream. And our two great guests today, actually, Leo Cady Sr. and Leo R., his son, father and son team here in Warwick, New York, and have been for some time, actually. Leo, you've been there, I mean, yourself. How long have you been back with the company? You've never left, obviously.
Never
you were
left,
born
yeah.
there.
Since 37. I remember sitting on the ledge in the front of the building, and there's a picture of my sister Sharon and I sitting there going, what the heck did he do? And I was 14 years old and never left.
Wow.
But at that point, you know, not a single car. Drove down Route 94. I was 30 miles away from my friends, and I go back to, you know, civilization. It's a disaster. I don't want to be down there anymore, you know?
It's a big difference. So you came up here at 14.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you, and think about that, senior. Yeah. I mean, you took your family, who was obviously already established where they were.
Yep.
They had their friends, their buddies, and their schoolmates and everything, and said, you know what, this is the right decision. I'm relocating, and we're going to take advantage of this opportunity.
But we all talked about it. And you're right. We lived there for years.
Did?
And
yeah.
Commuted.
Yeah, but I think summers at 14 is when I started working every day during the summer.
Yep, absolutely.
So,
but still, no easy decision. Right, you made it. You made the commitment. The family was all in. We were talking this in the first segment here, and now the work continues today, and the firm is growing. And we were talking that there's quite a few family members now that are working with the firm of the company,
yep.
And among those, would you say 30 plus employees?
Yep.
That are the makeup of Leo Cady's Ford. And I'm hoping we can see more and more of that as the country grows. And I think you do because of that all-in attitude. And I think you're very fortunate. I think you're very proud as well, senior.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. You know, and like I say, success is not only monetary. It's not only the house you live in, but it's the family that you have around you.
Right. And we're lucky to have it.
Yep.
I mean,
well,
actually, we're blessed to have it.
Yep.
See, Leo, so as you go forward, and we were talking, you know, prior to this on the, you know, entrepreneurs and what you said, we had to be all in with the family support and so on and so forth. And obviously technology is a big piece of this thing. But that said, you know, there's 500,000 small businesses start every day. And obviously not many of them make it. But you have to, I think a lot of entrepreneurs underestimate, I know I did when I came back in my family businesses 18 years ago. I think a lot of people underestimate what it takes to actually be responsible for not only yourself, but for your employees and everything else that goes along with this thing. I mean, what suggestions would you make? I mean, I think education, we're talking a little bit about this, education, industry education, I think is critical.
I guess depending on what industry you're going into, yeah, I think it's critical for all of them. But I think, you know, at least in my situation, on the job experience, you know, I, you know, got my degree and, you know, probably never ever use it besides, I think we threw darts at it, you know, a few years ago. But I think you need to have your, you know, you need to have a college degree for anything that you're going to do in life. But I also think that it isn't necessarily your ticket to success.
Okay.
You know, I think without having, in my case in particular, you know, when we get busy, I can go back and change oil. I can go back and do tire rotations. I can go back and write service customers up and know what the technician is talking about. The dealer groups that I belong to, you know, we talk about second generations not making it. It's amazing how many new dealers come into the group. They know everything. And they're gone in 2 years. They're out of business because they did not listen or expand upon what the first generation built. And they're gone.
Right.
And
well, you learn from the ground up.
You learn from the ground up, yeah.
And I think in a good part of this discussion in, that keeps going on, or kind of a recurring theme here, is in order to grow your business, you have to know the business. And in order to replace yourself, you should have had to have done that, exactly that task. Would you say that's correct?
Absolutely. And you have to do the right thing by the customer, too. You just, in order to have them come back, have their family come back, and it's just the right thing to do anyway.
In life.
Yeah. In life.
Right.
Life. And there are so many dealerships, unfortunately, that don't have that that same mindset.
Right. Well, I think, you know, it looked at, not that I've known this, you guys for many, many, many years here, but we did a quick Google search, and everybody can do this today, as you well know. But the first thing you bring up is your customer service. And mm-hmm. Customer service is not only just customer service, but it's quality, friendliness, the quality of the job that was done, and you're a 4.4 out of 5.
And well, I did that recently myself. I got a kick out of one of the reviews. It was, I believe, to be a woman, a mom. It went on and said the service was great. You would not believe the ladies' room. And she went on and explained our ladies' room, how we have a real changing table with diaper wipes, diapers, and changing pads in there. And that is what blew her away. Not the service. Not the bird, not the cat, not the coffee, not the donuts, the changing table.
Think about that.
So you never know what's going to make somebody's day. But
that's what she needed more than anything else.
That's what she needed more than anything else, you know. But I know, like when we had kids and you're using those plastic pull-down ones, you know, they were,
sure.
That's why we decided, you know, because it is a family store. I said, well, we're not going to have a plastic pull-down where we're going to have a real one. I never thought about it after that again until I read that review.
It was an afterthought. But it was first and foremost in your mind at one point because of your personal experiences, right?
Yeah. Right. Changing our kids on those plastic tables was just like, ugh.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And or just finding a spot to do it, period, that people wouldn't be minding the lovely odor that was coming out when we did that, right?
That's what we need, a diaper genie in
there. Note to self, we got to do that when we get back in there. Well, listen, I tell you, it's amazing. And I'm grateful for you guys to take the time to come on the show with me.
Thanks for the invite.
Definitely.
You guys are, just like anything, the family, I've always admired it. And I'm glad that I have the privilege to work with my father every day. And I know it's a kind of special treat for you as well, Leo, as much as he's up here for like another week or two. Kidding. You go back around Christmas, right? My mother last
after Christmas.
After Christmas,
Well, this afternoon, right? We're doing a new commercial with Matthew, so it'll be three generations again in the commercial. So it's not ending yet. We got another generation coming through.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. You know, Matthew, quality you can trust.
Right.
Well, you guys are doing commercials for I can't remember how long. I remember the first cable TV, cable six.
Oh yeah.
You guys were the first ones on there.
Yep.
I mean, so you think about and
running around conversion vans and
billboards, and you know, we only got a few minutes
Christmas
left.
Christmas card commercials, right?
Christmas card commercials.
Yeah.
Actually, with WTBQ, we have never been off this station since Ed Klein started it.
Is that right?
Yeah, we have never been off WTBQ.
So you're to that point, advertising has always been, and marketing is always kind of this genie up in the air there. You never know what works. And I know on a budgetary basis, when we sit down and look at what we're going to budget for advertising and marketing for a year, that's a real deal. That's a real expense. It's a real expense.
Oh, yeah.
But would you, I mean, obviously you've been doing this you wouldn't keep doing it if you didn't believe in it. And have you tracked that?
You know, there's certain medias that work, certain ones that don't. We're a big believer in cable television. And, you know, two very, very quick stories. We're down in Sanibel, my son and I. and somebody comes walking down the beach going, I've got to come all the way from Florida, New York to see you down here. And I, you know, got all proud. He was talking about my son. He wasn't talking about me.
Is that right?
And then about 10 years ago, we got, you know, really tired of, you know, happy holidays. And so we started to remember the reason, where we weren't advertising cars at all. It was just remember the reason. It was, you know, Santa looking over, you know, a manger. And to this day, those messages throughout the whole year, people make comments on. So you know what medias work by who's talking to you about it.
Okay. And I think it's very important as entrepreneurs are listening out there is it's not, there's no magic bullet. There's not one thing fixes all of it.
Nope. Right?
And some things work for others and some things don't work for others. And you have to be ready to adapt and change at instantly instead of considerably put, you know, good money after bad, so to speak. And we have this roundtable discussion all the time on where should we go next? What should we do next? How should we do it? And I'll tell you, it's not a simple process to go through.
It isn't, no. And nothing is cheap.
No.
So
even marketing on the internet is on par now.
Yeah.
With print ads. It's very much on par. It was a big difference when it was like we were talking last week with Justin where it was 5 cents a click. That's not the case anymore.
That is not the case. You know, they're talking about, well, you know, you're going to get 150,000 impressions. Well, that's great. But 1% of that might be our market with 1% of that in the market for a car.
Right. Well, you've taken it and, you know, and again, you're talking about marketing. You guys have done it pretty much all of it. You've put your toe in all of it anyway, right?
We have, yeah.
And
our
you can't
first,
be.
Newspaper ads were hand drawn, right?
Newspaper ads were hand drawn by Ben Winstanley.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I remember Ben.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a few years back, at least. Well, you know, every day is a new adventure. And I'm very thankful to actually have this day with you guys. It's been, Leo, you've been a great friend of my father for many, many years through Winslow and everything else, the Rotary. And Leo, I hope, you know, we've known each other for a bunch of years, but we said it before, we were always running 100 miles an hour. We haven't got a chance to really kind of connect. But I'm glad I've had the time today with you guys.
Yeah, me too.
And hope to see you continued success, which I know you will, since we got a third generation jumping in here we were just talking about. You're going to film the commercial this afternoon?
We're doing one this afternoon, yep.
Fantastic. So, folks, we're going to get ready to say goodbye here and thank everybody for their time. And remember, next week, we have another show coming up here. I'm not sure exactly who our guest is, but we have so many coming up. We have... the gentleman from the Newburg Brewery coming on.
Nice.
Which is kind of neat. And
is he bringing samples? I'd love to come back that day.
Well, actually, we'll invite you for that morning. It might be a little early, but we'll do it anyway. And I think it's one of the fun things we're finding with this show is we get to meet people just like ourselves.
Yeah.
That took the time or took the risk to make it all happen. And I tell you, I'm just having a ball doing it because of everybody's got this. It's a different story, but it's the same theme. You know, keep your faith. Keep your faith in God. Keep your faith in yourself.
First.
And then the success will be a byproduct if you stick in and hard long enough and work hard enough. So, folks, I want to say one more quickly, thank you for ever being with us. Leo Sr., thank you for being with me.
Again, thanks for inviting us.
Keeps calling you Senior, Dad.
I know. Well, see what happens is when you're taught one thing, you never, ever forget it.
When you're over 50 years old, I guess.
No. Oh, that's a cheap shot.
Well, I'm not there just yet. Well, folks, this is Jim Mazzetti with the American Dream. Come join us next week, Tuesday from 10 to 11. And God bless and all the success.